Nintendo created the Wii, and the Wii created a market. Suddenly, everyone from soccer moms to sorority girls to heads of state were wagging Wiimotes in front of their flat screens. While none of us here at Charge Shot actually own Nintendo's moneymaker, we've seen casual gaming explode across all platforms. In this, our latest pod shot, we're going to discuss the phenomenon of casual gaming. I'm Rob Kunzik, and with me are the usual band of merry miscreants. They are, in order of despicability,
Craig Getting.
Andrew Cunningham.
Aha, you lost. Or
actually, Craig, that means you are most despicable.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we didn't know which order he was going in.
Fooled.
But, yes, we are Charge Shot, located at charge-shot.com. You can find us on the internet.
We're there pretty much all the time.
And yeah. If you found this pod shot on the internet, you could also find it in iTunes, which is pretty cool. So go do that.
Yeah.
And now we're going to talk about casual games. Wee.
Wee. Someone's going to talk about them. I don't.
All right. Can I talk about Bookworm Adventures?
Yes.
Please.
This is a casual game that I not only like, but love. I can't remember. Maybe it was when we were living in Cables.
I think it was. No, junior year, definitely.
Yeah.
We both downloaded the demo, and...
And it was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, the demo was great.
For those who are unfamiliar, Bookworm Adventures is sort of like a Scrabble fighting game. And if that sounds absurd, it's because it is, but in the most awesome way possible. Basically, you're given a group of seven letters, and you need to make a word out of it. And the kind of word determines its effectiveness as an attack. And a seven-letter word using rare letters would, be a killer one-hit kill attack. And to sort of put attack in context, you're a little green worm, and your attacks involve you spinning around and whapping up against various skeletons and zombies and pirates and skeleton pirates and zombie skeletons and zombie pirates. So, it's thoroughly silly and thoroughly kiddie, but it's cool because, it really puts you in the hot seat. It's not like, you can sit around and ponder how best to get, Serepetus on the screen, which you can't because there's not enough spaces. But, you have to think on your feet and actually, produce something that's effective for the context. So, I thought that gameplay was surprisingly deep, and it was challenging and thought-provoking in many, many ways that more hardcore, quote-unquote, games aren't. I got a lot more away from that short little demo than I did a lot of other games.
Yeah, it's really cool. And actually, from here, we can go one of two ways. We can choose our own adventure. If you would like to talk about casual games that are kind of crossovers between... hardcore, you can't see the air quotes on a podcast, but they're there, I swear. If you want to talk about crossovers between hardcore and casual games, you should turn to page 64. And if you want to talk about games that or like the audience of casual games, we should turn to page 36.
Which one
do you guys want?
Maybe we can talk about PopCap games a little bit before we do either.
No, that's not
good.
A choice.
Yeah, no, I'm going to turn to page 99, PopCap games.
You're just skipping around. That's not even how you play the game.
I looked at the bottom of the pages first, and I saw PopCap games. And I think that's a great idea, Rob.
Fine, whatever.
PopCap games is singular in the industry in that while everyone else is chalking up quarterly losses and laying off employees, PopCap Games is like, hey, we're making a hell of a profit, and we are only going up. They may be – they're, as of yet, recession-proof. They don't seem to be bothered by it.
Well, no. I mean, it's easy to hook people on the internet, and then you just say, oh, you want a couple more – you want, five more options for this addictive game? Pay $5.
I think the free stuff is ad supported too. So,
oh, totally.
And they have a really wide audience. Like PopCap, are they the Bejeweled people? Because that's a big one.
Yes,
they're Bejeweled. They're
and collapsed. I think they also have the Bookworm game from which Bookworm Adventures was spawned,
yep.
which is a game that my mom plays all the time. And she'll she'll start a game and then she'll leave it open in the browser and then she'll like go somewhere else for a while. She'll have games that are open for like a week and she'll get a million points and she'll get really happy with herself.
Yeah, how's your mom doing?
She's fine, Robert. Thank you for asking.
No problem. Just wondering.
They also invented Zuma, which like everybody played for about 2 years.
Zuma.
Zuma? Not Zima. No.
No, it's not a crappy beer. It's a decent casual game.
Excuse me, malt beverage.
Whatever.
They also had publishing rights to Diner Dash, to one of the Diner Dash games.
Nice. Oh my god.
They didn't make it. They published it, though.
And they also, this is particularly ingenious, I think, but they take their games that are, you know, freely available on the internet, and then they turn around and charge $5 or $10 to sell the same things on Xbox Live. And for every successful PopCap game, there are like 36
that don't
imitators.
Matter.
Well, yeah. There's that, and then there are all kinds of spin-offs and clones.
Yeah, there are innumerable sequels, you know, within the game. Like, I'm looking here at Bejeweled 2, Bejeweled Twist, Peggle, Peggle Knights. What could Peggle Knights possibly be?
Wasn't there also a version of Peggle that came with, like, a Valve?
You can get it for free. It's called Peggle Extreme.
Oh, okay.
Which is just, it's themed with the orange box. So, like, there's a level where the unicorn from Peggle has a head crab on his face. Like, it's just,
oh,
like, and it's just in the art. It's nice and, like, kitschy and cartoony, which is fun. But Peggle is an amazing game.
That picture's not kitschy or cartoony. As I recall, it's a unicorn with a head crab on its face, but its horn is also impaling the head crab. It's terrifying.
I stand corrected.
Finding out about this right now.
Do it. Peggle's great. And they just released Xbox Live, and everybody is really excited about it because they have crazy new multiplayer modes. But, yeah, and Peggle Knights is just more. I mean, I played Peggle, like, the demo. That's one of the ones that you actually have to download, and it's, like, more than just, hey, put this on our website. But it's just it's a simple game that's a mix of, like, pinball and Plinko and Bust-A-Move. And then every time you, that's Rob just showed us the picture. It is actually pretty terrifying. but then every time you beat the level, it plays Ode to Joy, and it's just there's such a great release. It's so good. PopCap knows what they're doing.
I mean, they're raking in a fortune.
And their installed base is basically any computer, because all computers have browsers and their games can be played in browsers. So
yeah. What the hell is EA doing? Like, you know, thanks guys for Mirror's Edge and Mass Effect, or not Mass Effect, Dead Space.
No, but also Mass Effect published it.
Oh yeah, well,
it was Bioware developed.
Actually, yeah. I got that in the mail today. I'm very excited about it.
Ooh, it's a good one. Why did I sing that?
I don't know.
But that's, yeah, Mass Effect is a good example of something that's not a casual game. But I think this might be a good point to turn to page 70-whatever and talk about casual game elements in hardcore games.
Or vice versa.
Oh, yeah, I think you touched on it with Bookworm and
Yeah, Bookworm Adventures, which would be a merge of Bookworm, which is a casual game, and like an RPG.
Yeah. And then like Peggle is just a slightly more developed casual game. Like, it has more options. It has more levels. It's, you know, they're rolling out the sequels. But but I think, Andrew, you had mentioned before we started recording, like, stuff like Puzzle Quest and like the Final Fantasy minigames, which are excellent examples.
Puzzle Quest, which is great. And the sequel, Puzzle Quest Galactrix, I think, which is like Puzzle Quest diagonally in space. It's coming out soon, and that'll be fun. But the first Puzzle Quest is just straight up Bejeweled with RPG elements. So you wander around on a map with your character that you create, and you play Bejeweled against bandits and skeletons and orcs and stuff. And as you go, you get experience and you get new skills. And I don't know, it's hard to lay it out, you know, briefly, but Bejeweled except an RPG. And it's like addictive, but it also has the detail. The detail and meticulousness that hardcore people like in RPGs.
It's like
games. Sorry, go ahead.
It seems to be it's a more evolved version of like something like Super Puzzle Fighter or something, or any sort of like two player puzzle, like playing Tetris against somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But you add a story and leveling up and all sorts of crazy stuff.
Well, puzzle games have become enormously popular. Just look at the Professor Layton series on the DS.
Mm-hmm.
It's been getting top reviews and, you know, selling absurd amounts for a long time now.
Puzzle games have been around forever. I mean, Tetris
sold the Game Boy. Tetris
made
the game.
Yeah, it did, and everybody loved it. And puzzle games have, like, pretty universal appeal. I mean, most people like at least one puzzle game.
Exactly.
Probably more.
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe we could mention mini games within series. Someone had mentioned Final Fantasy, but there was a hacking mini game in BioShock.
Yes.
Where obviously you would sort of, there's some really frankly inexplicable manipulation of pipes and water.
That, which is actually, the game is basically just a straight up copy of this game called Pipe Dream, which was actually developed by, the version I had was by LucasSoft, and it was for the NES. I'm not sure if that was its original platform.
It was all over
LucasSoft or LucasArts?
Whatever, same thing.
No, it's not.
I mean, same thing in that I don't think LucasSoft exists and LucasArt is what I meant.
Well, that's not same thing at all. That's I am wrong. And this is what it actually is.
No. It was developed by Lucasfilm. By Lucasfilm Games. What is that?
Whoa, it's neither LucasArts nor... Wait, that
George,
doesn't make any sense.
George Lucas was in some way involved.
Yes, it was. Yes, he was.
And the game was called Pipe Dream, and you started with... You know, you started with some ooze and a starting point, and you're just supposed to snake some pipes around and not let the ooze spill out of the pipes. And BioShock lifted it for its hacking minigame.
Excuse me, Andrew, it's called Flues, according to the Wikipedia page.
Well, Pipe Dream was what it was called on the NES. That was the version
I
had.
No, the ooze was called Flues.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You know,
the ooze and the flubber and the monster blood. I don't even know.
It was originally on Amiga, on the Amiga, and then Lucasfilm or LucasArts ported it to a bunch of other platforms, and then it came to Windows in the 90s. So it's been around a long time.
Yeah.
But yes.
Actually, the BioShock game was... You know, also owes half of its ancestry to a hacking game in, surprise, System Shock 2.
Or did System Shock 2 also take
it from Pipe Dream?
No, actually, System Shock 2 did not steal it from Pipe Dream because it didn't involve... There's no sort of time limit, and it was more trial and error. So it was more like sort of less forgiving, less fun, really,
mm-hmm.
than System Shock or than BioShock's pipe thing. Less of a puzzle, more of a punishment. But that describes that game actually very well. Very, very unforgiving game. But I had another one. A bad example would be Mass Effect, where the hacking mechanism is basically Simon Says, except without the difficulty of having to repeat something. It's just a button would flash on screen and you would press that button. And another button would flash on screen, and you would press that button. And none of the sequencing is particularly fast or difficult. So unless you're a complete retard or, you know... currently undergoing a lobotomy, you should be able to hack damn near anything in the game. Needless to say, I screwed it up more than once.
Yeah, now I'll feel bad if I mess up.
don't worry, you're in good company here, pal. But I think hardcore games need mechanisms like that to sort of break up the tension of, you know, this highly cultivated and manicured movie-like atmosphere, because especially games like, you know, BioShock, where the atmosphere is so absorbing and immersive. You know, you need something to break it up, to remind you that it's just a game and sort of relax you. Because, you know, without that, the game runs a risk of just simply becoming fatigue.
Well, it's pretty unrelenting in terms of just like you run from fight to gruesome room full of dead people. And that's that's most of the game.
I mean, I think it's a well-paced shooter without the puzzles, but
it is, yeah.
Many games help. They help change the pace. You know, you can choose not to do them. Obviously, they're not essential, but you know.
Yeah, most of the time they just like reduce the cost of stuff. So.
Well, that function seems to be how casual games fit into stuff like Final Fantasy, where it's, you know, you have this huge sprawling RPG. Okay, well, you're probably going to get tired of it if you just have to go level grind the whole time. Well, let's invent a card game, and we'll make it part of the plot for like 10 minutes, and then you could just go play it if you want. And then we're going to invent an underwater sport that makes no sense, and we'll make it part of the plot, but then you can just go play it if you want.
Oh, doesn't Knights of the Old Republic have that Pozak game or whatever it is?
Yeah, both of them have a crazy card game.
Yeah, games really like to shoehorn in little card games that you can spend. You can spend like 5 hours on them by themselves.
Yeah, I mean, there are benefits to them. Like, they're usually like weird, obscure, like, oh, you got this extra bonus, or here's a bunch of extra money. But it is pretty easy to just get lost and like, I'm just going to get really good at this card game. And then you...
Actually, sorry.
And then you just realize, oh, I have an extra 5 more hours to play now, because I could have just been playing the regular game. Well, there are plenty of games that at a certain point just break down into mini games. You know, like if you're kind of done with the plot of GTA, what are you gonna do except, you know, oh, I'm gonna do the delivering pizza mini game, or I'm gonna go drive a taxi, which is just playing Crazy Taxi for, you know, 20 minutes.
Or you can make up your own mini games, like use cheats and fly around the city, or eat 10 pizzas.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a good mini game.
It's my favorite. It's the only one I could play.
But so all these games are already within games that theoretically the like enthusiast hobby, like game hobby audience is already playing. But we've kind of been touching on how people like PopCap and Rob, I looked it up, Pogo is EA's casual website. I think Pogo.com used to exist before EA bought them. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's basically a very similar thing. They have more licensed things like Scrabble. There's a NASCAR game, apparently, except not a lot of people play it, so according to the website. So these games are not necessarily aimed at, like, us. They're aimed at, you know, Andrew's mom, who wants to go play whatever we said she plays.
Bookworm. Get a ride or pay the price.
Well, okay then. What about these games makes it... We kind of talked about the appeal of puzzles, what about these games do we think make them more accessible?
I don't know. They're short and they're simple and they're satisfying. If you solve a puzzle and you're like, oh, hey, look how smart I am.
Mm-hmm.
And you can sit and play them for like 5 or 10 minutes in your spare time or in time that's supposed to be your employer's time. Yeah. So they're just like, they're really short and they're, you know, gratifying, and I think that's kind of universal. That's not exclusive to people who, you know, get their jollies from talking about playing games on the internet all the time.
Yeah.
That's us.
I know.
All right, let's talk about who plays these games.
Oh, because okay.
Let's just, full disclosure, I mean, none of us own a Wii.
No.
We play casual games per se, but, you know, those of you who read the site know that we're pretty much focused on games that for lack of a better word, are defined as hardcore, though. I'm looking at my game rack right now, and Ace Combat 6 cannot be defined by any stretch of the imagination as hardcore.
But it's certainly not casual.
Yeah. Well, and lots of people hate that label.
Damn casual. Yeah, it's an odious label. Hardcore, like hardcore.
Hardcore. It's like I'd spend every night drinking out of a little Heineken keg and playing Halo with my hat on backwards. Hardcore.
It's such an awful name, and it seems like it's been slapped on the genre in the absence of anything better. Like, you know, games that aspire to be something other than, you know, just a game. You know, games that aspire to be an experience, which I think is silly in and of itself and a bit pretentious, but, you know. So yeah. I guess, you know, what I'm trying to say is, in the interest of disclosure, none of us actively play Cooking Mama, but I will tell you that I have spent more hours on Curveball than I care to admit. I'm talking hours. Like, it's bad. And I can never get past level 8. It doesn't matter. Like, I will have, you know, I will go up to level 8 with all of my little balls in a row. For those of you who haven't played this, Curveball is basically like 3D Pong. And for every time an enemy scores a point against you, you lose a ball. It's a maddening game, but I've logged more time into that game than I have, say, Battlefield Bad Company.
Yeah.
And it's simple. How can you be more simple than Pong? You know?
Yeah, I think part of it too comes down to control schemes, and that's why I think the Wii is doing so well. It promised such a simple control scheme, and almost every Wii Sports game is the A button and the waggle remote, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of casual games are just a mouse. Or something that I thought was interesting when you brought up Bookworm, Rob, is that, like, that's typing. Everybody almost anybody who has a computer types a lot.
Yeah, thanks to Mavis Beacon.
What would we do without her?
Is she a chick?
Yeah, dude. Let me check on this.
Okay, you check on that. But it's like you don't have to learn how to use a keyboard because theoretically you already typed in
chick.
Bookworm or chick. So
another mystery solved by the pod shot.
I know. we're mystery solvers. It makes a game out of something that people do regularly. And there aren't like, ooh, what are all these buttons? Why is it circles and squares and X's and XYBA bumpers, I don't know, blah. And it's just, you know, move your mouse, click once or twice, or, you know, type these words. And I think that's the simplicity aspect is definitely what makes it accessible, and it allows you to keep playing play a wide variety of games if you haven't been playing, you know, Nintendo when you were like 5. Because, I mean, you can see with the PlayStation, like, they're not going to complicate the controller anymore. It was bad enough that they added the six-axis nonsense to the controller.
No, yeah, for a while, controllers just kept getting more and more and more and more buttons and sticks and nubs and various appendages. And that kind of evened out starting around, like, the turn of the millennium, I think.
Yeah, once the PlayStation pretty much proved that, okay, well, maybe 2 shoulder buttons will work and you can have this many face buttons. But if you ever looked at a Virtual Boy controller, like, that was too many buttons. There were 2 D-pads before analog sticks. It made no sense.
Man, the Jaguar controller?
I was just thinking about that. Oh, my God.
Which one? Is that the one that's basically just a keyboard? Like,
it's a degree of, like, unmarked buttons. It's terrifying.
It's a mix of a Sega controller and a number and like a 0 through 9 number pad.
It looks like a calculator. There's this weird antipathy among the gaming community against casual games. You know, people who play games like Resident Evil 5 think that games like Cooking Mama are somehow, you know, corrupting the medium that they enjoy.
Do they think that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, well, the Wii. So. I mean, the Wii is a laughing stock for websites like Destructoid. You know, nobody refers to it, you know, except in mockery. And, you know, when games like Mad World are put out, they're like, oh my God, a game with blood on the Wii. You know, I thought only, you know, 6-year-old girls and soccer moms played this.
And it's clear that only 6-year-old girls and soccer moms play it because games like Mad World don't sell.
Yeah.
I believe that game sold 45,000 units in February, which is abysmal.
Well, it's a hard sell to begin with because it's such a niche game. You know, the entire thing is black and white except for the blood.
Yeah.
And you know, it is ultra violent. You know, that's pretty much – it's ballsy because it's eschewing your main audience and sort of targeting an audience that you would more typically find on the PS3 and Xbox 360 when half that audience doesn't own a Wii and wouldn't even look at one because it has this stigma of being, you know, a little frilly girly system.
Yeah. And it also it doesn't have the hardware yet for, like, for saving on anything but an SD card, which everyone's like, well, f*** that. And the internet is, like, the online play is weird and friend Cody. Like, nobody wants – and to top it all off, they have an undeveloper-friendly control scheme for making cross-platform games. So any of the games, like any popular shooter, is not going to bother going to a Wii because it's not worth it for development costs. So yes, let's make a bunch of games that involve waggling a Wiimote, please.
And casual games are on fire. PopCap is making a killing, and so is the Wii. I mean, this is, you know, if you were just strictly look at the money, people would look at games like, you know, hell, even Mass Effect and, like, you know, Far Cry 2 and games that move 1 to 2 million units, and they laugh at them. Because the profit compared to the production cost is, well, laughable.
Well, because, you know, it's, you know, these games are doing better. Of course they're doing better because they have a wider intended appeal. Audience. Like, the people who are going to enjoy stuff like Far Cry 2, I mean, these are games that even within the gaming community are not, like, widely or completely accepted or liked, you know, by everybody. Because you take this very small slice of the total population. These are the people who are the gamers, and then you have to market your game to a smaller slice of that small slice.
Yeah.
Whereas with a browser based like solitaire game, like
anybody who's bored at work.
Everybody gets bored enough to play a solitaire game. Everybody gets bored enough to go on PopCap. I mean, Of course they're doing better because they're not, you know, they're limiting themselves less.
Yeah, and watch how popular iPhone gaming is going to get just as soon as people figure out how to make decent games on it.
I think the thing about the iPhone and gaming, and this is just a small diversion, but
yeah.
It's a phone and cell phones are important and everybody has their cell phone on them all the time and, you know, they're important for business, they're important for all this stuff. Playing a game on an iPhone, the battery life is like 2 or 3 hours, depending on what you're doing. I mean,
yeah, that's the option.
You don't want to have something as important as your phone dead because you wanted to play Super Monkey Ball on it. If you had to pick one super hardcore game and make it into a PopCap game,
ooh,
what would it be? And why, also when and how, and who.
What is when and how, and why and what?
Answer any part of the question you want. I'm still bitter about you guys killing my choose your own adventure idea for the podcast.
We didn't kill it, we just co-opted it to insult you, I think.
Well, that makes me feel
Andrew
even
sure
worse.
Andrew can dish it out, but he can't take it. Can't take
Apparently
it at all.
Not.
I would like to see BioShock adapted to the Bookworm Adventures format just because it would turn out so wrong. Like, can you imagine that? Like, you know, you spell something great like, you know, tarantula, and a big daddy
tarantula
blowing into pieces.
No, you'd have to spell like Ayn Rand thing.
If you spell Ayn Rand,
like you'd have to spell Fountainhead or something and kill the Big Daddy.
Or like
no.
Spell Prime Mover and the game crashes or something.
Spell John Galt for bonus points.
Oh my God.
I would take Resident Evil and I don't know what I'd do with it.
Tetris.
No, I'd make it into Dr. Mario. And you'd have to cure the infected.
Okay.
By throwing pills at them.
Okay.
More plausible, but I don't want to cure the infected unless it's with a shotgun.
No, it's a casual game.
So it has to be appealing to soccer moms.
No,
and soccer
killing.
Moms want to help zombies.
Dude, you get enough Adderall up their noses and they won't know what they're doing anymore.
Oh no, I would take Mega Man Soccer and I would turn it into Desperate Housewives Soccer.
Mega Man Soccer is not a hardcore.
Oh, it's so hardcore.
It's so bad.
No, you're confusing bad and hardcore.
I don't know. Oh man, I don't know what game I would pick. I want to pick a game that would maybe use like Sudoku as its main. I was thinking Mega Man because I'm thinking of the menu screen and the Sudoku screen, but that's not good enough.
No, it's not. Try again.
Try again.
Well, here's another idea. Maybe if you took like BioShock from the perspective of a little sister, and if you somehow made the whole process of harvesting Adam from corpses with a syringe really, really super cute.
Okay.
Wouldn't that be horrible?
I guess so.
That'd be awesome.
Okay, I got one. All right.
Okay.
So a Mario game.
Okay.
That plays like Diner Dash, but he's just a plumber, and you're in a public restroom, and you have to. And instead of serving customers, you have to unclog their toilets.
Or, like, give them toilet paper or something.
Yeah,
as
yeah,
they
yeah,
need
yeah.
It.
Social realism, I kind of like that.
Yeah, it'd be like Mario's mall bathroom or something.
Oh.
That's disgusting.
Mall bathroom, foul, dude. Really there.
Thank you so much for pooping your pants.
But I don't know that he's actually a real plumber just as much as he's a real doctor, so...
He's a quack.
He's a quack.
He's the Joe the Plumber of the video game world. He's just... He calls himself a plumber and then writes a book about it.
Oh, speaking of Joe the Plumber, I would just like to reach out into the great wide internet and notice that we received exactly one hit from Wasilla, Alaska.
Nice.
So, Bristol Palin, if you're out there... You deserve better.
Oh, she no, she's so bad. She's so sad about her breakup that...
Wait, they broke up?
Yeah, they broke up.
I knew it.
There go their core conservative values. But no, they broke up. And yeah, she just got so sad that she started reading video game blogs.
Oh. Wait, did they really break up?
Yes, they broke up.
Man, yeah. That's hard. Oh, Bristol. I will love you like that.
She has a kid, Rob. You know, don't touch that.
Oh, man. All right.
Let's take this out back and shoot it in the head.
What is this pod shot?
If you were offended by anything we said, be sure to email us at editors@charge-shot.com.
If you're from Wasilla, glory be. That's the funniest thing in the world. Thank you for visiting our blog, and please come back again.
Also, we're sorry
for Everyone.
Making fun of your state, and it's... people. All right, if you liked what you heard or you didn't or whatever, you should visit us at www.charge-shot.com. You'll have a great time because we are great dudes. And thanks for listening. And good night.
Good night and good luck.
Yeah.
Good night and good luck.
Yeah.
What?